As many of you know, we have been looking at a series of lessons that help to encourage us on how to represent ourselves as true heirs of God, representing ourselves as the light of the world. And this morning will be the last lesson in this series. Obviously, there's a lot of other subjects that I could cover, but there's subjects that I kind of want to spend a little more time on in detail, probably with the series of lessons themselves, one of them being love. I just, you know, that's one of those subjects that you can't really preach in just one lesson, or at least I can't. You know, there's just more to it. And the biblical love of the Bible is certainly something that the world today needs to understand better, and certainly something that we need to understand better too. So that will be a subject that will come up in the future sometime. But what I want to do next week is I want to start what I deem as kind of a timely and appropriate series of lessons that deal with trials, temptation, and suffering, that deal with death, and that deal with the afterlife. Every congregation that I've ever preached in and been involved with, there are always people with a lot of questions that fall within the areas that those particular topics cover. And I know that there's at least a couple of folks in this congregation that have asked me to particularly preach on the subject of suffering, and why is it that a good God would allow suffering on the earth. You know, that's something that not only people in the church sometimes have a hard time understanding, but certainly we have a lot of folks outside the church who have a problem understanding that as well. So I want to spend some time covering that subject, and like I said, covering the subjects of trial and temptation, the subjects of death, the subjects of the afterlife. And what I hope to do is to not only bring us comfort on those words, but to bring us hope and help us to understand those things a little better, help us to understand the purpose of God a little better. Because we can't get into studying on those subjects without realizing the need of salvation within our lives. So I'll start that next week, and I don't know how many lessons it'll go, maybe four or five, depends on how much I feel like we need to get covered. But I do know that there are folks who have family members who have been interested in these subjects, and so let them know now that there will be a series of lessons preached on these subjects. Invite them to come to church. Ask them if they would be willing to dedicate four or five Sundays to this particular study and being here and listening to these subjects. And I hope to be able to cover them adequately. And if it brings more questions to them, I'll be glad to study with them. But now's the time to be inviting them. Let your family members and neighbors know that we're going to be studying on that, and invite them to listen to that. This morning, I think that this is an appropriate lesson to kind of end our series on. And, you know, it's one of those lessons that I know as a preacher sometimes get accused of, you know, you're always preaching about things that we need to stay away from, the do's and don'ts of Christianity, the do's and don'ts of the Bible. And we know that we have to do those things. We have to study on those things. There are things that God wants us to stay away from. There are things and attitudes like we've talked about that God wants us to try to follow. But here is a lesson this morning that I think sometimes the longer we go as Christians, we sometimes fall into this trap of, you know, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, but I'm just not good enough. And every once in a while, some folks go so far as to saying, you know, I don't know if I'll ever be able to make it to heaven. I don't know if God will ever let me into heaven because I'm just a sinner. I keep doing things that are wrong. And this is coming from Christians who have been baptized and had their sins washed away. And folks, that just should never be. And so I want us to take a look at this lesson this morning that helps us to understand that as we walk as Christians, There are things that we need to do for the Lord. There are things that reflections that help us to see our weaknesses and realize we need to strengthen. But we also need to realize that we need to love ourselves. And I want us to start with Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 39. In a teaching that's very plain and easy to understand that Christ teaches here. And he says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And he says, "And the second is like it." Now listen to this. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now you understand that he calls this the second great commandment. And we always emphasize, we need to love others. We need to love our neighbors. We need to show love to those who are acquaintances on an everyday basis. But there's a second part to this particular statement. Love your neighbors as yourselves. You see, Jesus assumes that we do love ourselves. But you know what? I've run across individuals who don't have a whole lot of love for themselves. I've run across Christians who were so down on themselves that they just had a hard time doing this. And I want us to know and to understand that if we are truly going to fulfill the commandments of God, if we're truly going to be able to love others, we have to know how to love ourselves. You know, it kind of starts with us. We can't love others if we don't love ourselves. And that's the thing that Christ assumes here, and that's the reason why he gives us the instruction he does. In his play, Henry V, William Shakespeare writes, "Self-love, my liege, is not so vile a sin as self-neglecting. Selfishness is a sin, but self-love is having self-respect, and we need to have respect for ourselves. The problem of not loving ourselves needs to be resolved before we can fully serve the Lord." Have you ever used these expressions about yourself? "There is something wrong with me. I'm really messed up. I'm bad. It's all my fault. I'm incompetent. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good, smart, attractive, rich, etc. enough. I'm not as good, smart, attractive, or successful as that person. I'll never be able to do this. I don't have what it takes. I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to have what I want. I deserve to be punished. I don't deserve to be forgiven. That person doesn't like me. No one likes me." You know, there have been times in my life I've said some of these things. Likely there's been times in your life that you've said some of these things. But I'm pretty sure that all of us at some point in our lives have been around somebody who has said these things. You know, life throws a lot at us. And certainly if we're not walking as tight to God as what we should do, sometimes we can catch ourselves in a situation where we don't like ourselves very much. And sometimes we run across others who don't like themselves very much. And folks, that is a condition that needs to be remedied in order for us to truly be the servants that God wants us to be. In Exodus chapter 4 and also in chapter 6, after being commissioned by God to go to Pharaoh on God's behalf, Moses began to make excuses as to why he was not the right person to sin. You know, if we get far enough on our Sunday night study, Moses is a very interesting character study. I mean, we're talking about a man that goes from this stage in life that I'm getting ready to read you to one of the greatest leaders of mankind that ever walked this earth. It's amazing to see the development that he goes through. But listen to what he told God. What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. O Lord, please send someone else to do it. The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am uncircumcised of lips. Does that sound like a confident man? Does that sound like someone who has the confidence to lead God's people through the wilderness? You know, here's how he started out. He wasn't very confident. He was a person that kind of beat himself down. You know, he needed some confidence. He needed some self-esteem. He needed to start by loving himself and realizing that God could give him the things that he needed. And eventually he will. In Judges chapter 11, verse 1 through 7, we're introduced to a man by the name of Jephthah. Another interesting character study. But it says in Judges chapter 11, verse 1, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Now look at the result of the negative things said to him. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, and worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our leader that we may fight against the Ammonites. It's an interesting situation. They apparently didn't have a military leader. They apparently didn't have a real great military force. And so they fell to a man who was a raider. Came to him, and even though he was despised by his own family and his own people, they came to him in a time of need. Now, Jephthah could have said to himself in that moment, you know, nobody likes me. I don't even like myself. Look at the terrible things I've been doing since I've been run out of my own home. But you know what? God showed him love. God took a man who was less than others spiritually and made a great spiritual leader as well as a military leader for the people. And Jephthah is going to deliver the people from the Ammonites. Now, if he had never come across the love of God that helped him to love himself and have confidence in himself, he'd have never been able to achieve that great moment. And then I love the story of Zacchaeus, the little man. Remember the song we used to sing, the little man? In Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, he entered Jericho, he being Christ, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Now, you know, I think that it's interesting. He could have said to himself, you know, nobody likes me. I'm a tax collector. Probably Zacchaeus had been known to take a little more than what he should have, because a lot of the tax collectors of that time did so. But people didn't like tax collectors. And you know, what would it be like to live life knowing that very few people liked you? You know, if you think that nobody likes you, you start not liking yourself. And so Zacchaeus, he could have said that to himself, and he could have gone back home and said, you know, if nobody else likes me, Jesus probably won't like me either. But he doesn't. Instead, he climbs a sycamore tree in verse 4. And in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I love the attitude of Zacchaeus. Lord, if I've done any wrong, I'll give it back fourfold. But here was one who, because Christ was who he was, Zacchaeus was willing to look past the ridicule of others, the despisement of others, the way that others looked down upon himself. And he was able to look at his own soul and say, if I'm right in what I think about this man called Jesus, he will accept me. He will love me. And it caused Zacchaeus to love himself. Each of the three men discussed may have started out their walks with God with problems stemming from a lack of self-love, but they were able to overcome and commit acts of love through serving God and loving themselves. No matter what age we are or what our circumstances might be, you and I are special. We still have something unique to offer. Our life, because of who we are and what Christ has done for us, has meaning. And self-love starts with what Christ has done for us and what Christ thinks of each of us. Because brothers and sisters, whenever it comes down to us, it doesn't matter what others think of us. It only matters what Christ thinks of us. And the Bible teaches us that Christ loves us. And if Christ loves us, we can begin to love ourselves. A few points to help get us started towards self-love. Point number one, learn to let go of past events. You deserve a fresh beginning. There are a lot of people out there that have had hard lives, bad beginnings and moments. Forgive those who have done you wrong. Most importantly, though, learn to forgive yourself. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Here was a man by the name of Paul, who probably had every right to be down on himself. After all, he had spent several years persecuting the Lord's church. But you know what? He didn't let that bring him down. Because he knew who Jesus was. And he knew who he was in the sight of Jesus Christ. Listen to him in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, and here's something as Paul says that he did, here's what we need to do also. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we have all been sinners. We all have sinful pasts. We all have probably done things that we regret. And unfortunately, even though we can be forgiven, sometimes the guilt still remains. But we need to learn to let go of the past. We need to learn to be able to put the past behind us and to look forward to the hope of the future that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus allows us to do that. Jesus allows us to put the past behind us because knowing His great forgiveness, we know that we have been forgiven for things that are in the past. So we can learn to love ourselves and press forward to the great things that lie ahead. Secondly, this morning, self-love is a self-appreciation for one's character, ideals, and talents. Each of us have been blessed with something that we can do and use for the Lord. If your character is flawed and keeping you from appreciating who you are, then start today to change it. Before you can love someone else, you have to love yourself first. That right there is the reason I've never been in love. Someone wrote that. And you know, I don't know who that was, but I feel sorry for them. That was somebody that needed the church. That was somebody who needed the Lord. Because Christ gives us everything we need in order to get our life right so that we can follow His love and love ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17 says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." You know, John Summers was talking to me out in the foyer before worship this morning, or before class. And he was talking about his bum knee. You know, he's done something to his knee, had to put ice on it. Here recently he did something to his shoulder and had to rest it. And I said, "John, you're falling apart." He said, "Yeah." He said, my left side is useless now. It's just no strength in it." You know, as we grow older, all of us experience the fact that it feels like we're falling apart. You know, health issues start hitting home, and we start getting these injuries and these ailments and these aches and these pains. And it doesn't get better, does it? It just doesn't get better. But you know what? Paul wrote, and he said, even though that's going on outwardly, inside, we keep being renewed day by day. We might grow old on the outside, but if we follow Jesus Christ and we truly understand what it is to love Him and love ourselves, we grow younger on the inside. We grow younger spiritually. We become revived and stronger spiritually. Although our physical strength may ebb, our spiritual strength can get greater. And that's great to know. It's great to know because someday we're going to put this body off from us. We're going to put the weakness of the flesh off and our great, strong, beautiful spirit we'll get to go to be with our beautiful Savior. And that's wonderful to know and to think about. Treat others with love and respect. If we are going to love ourselves, we need to love others. And we need to respect others. Bringing joy to other people's lives will help us to find joy in our own. If we want to feel good about ourselves, start by random acts of kindness for others. A visit, a prayer for others, kind words of encouragement. We can go on with the things that we can do. Mark Twain once wrote, "The best way to cheer yourself is to try to cheer someone else up." And I believe in that. You know, if we truly want to grow ourselves, if we want to learn to love ourselves more, we need to get out and do things for others. And I would even go as far as to say, if you've got problems within your life, some of the best ways to resolve those problems is to get out and do something for someone else. And you'll forget your own problems because of how good it makes you feel when you do so. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and also verse 10 and 11 says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God." I think it's sad that there have been so many TV evangelists and prosperity evangelists today who have taken on these scriptures and said, "Yes, see, if you give a lot of money," and especially to me, then you will receive a lot of money and wealth within your own lives. Brothers and sisters, there's so much more to that scripture than that. If you will sow spiritual things for others, if you'll get out and do good things for others, good things will come back to you. When we do good for others, it helps us to love ourselves. It helps us to appreciate ourselves. It helps us to respect ourselves. And that's important in order to love others. We need to become God pleasers and not man pleasers. We will never be able to please everybody all the time. Just can't do it. Being that that is a fact, we should concentrate more on pleasing God. And I will even contend that the more we try to please God, I think we will end up pleasing the majority of others. I really believe that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 25 says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." You know, you understand what that, you know, and a lot of people want to say, well, you know, that's a relationship between a slave and its master. Well, brothers and sisters, we are slaves to our master. We are servants of the Most High King. And what he is saying to us is, don't worry about what others might think. Worry only about what God thinks. Do what is right to others, even though they may not do what is right to you. And if you will do so, God will be happy with you. And if we know that we're doing what makes God happy, it's going to help us to be more satisfied with who we are and what we're trying to do. Finally, this morning, a good start to loving ourselves is to realize who we are. We are, as this series has pointed out, heirs of the Most High God. If we are truly Christians, believing in and practicing God's will, why would we not love ourselves? Is there better people on earth to be found? Have you ever run across better people than the Lord's people? And I know, yes, sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. Sometimes we kind of get in little tiffs with each other. That's kind of the thing that goes along with the theme of brothers and sisters. You know, the same thing happened in our own homes growing up. Same thing sometimes happens in the Lord's church. But there are no greater people than the Lord's people. And if we realize who we are and the titles that we carry, look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I cannot read verses like that and be down on myself. I know I'm not perfect. I know you're not perfect. I know I have my weak moments. I know you have your weak moments. I know sometimes I sin and fall short. And I know sometimes you sin and fall short. But because of the blood of Christ and our fellowship with Him, our sins are being continually washed away from our soul. And as that is a fact, not a supposition, but a fact, we carry the titles of a royal priesthood, God's own special people. You know, I grew up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Yeah, I know that's beyond some of you here, but, you know, one of the things that kids liked, one of the things that I liked is he'd tell these stories, but every episode he'd say, "You are special." You know, I like knowing I'm special. Don't you like knowing that you're special? Well, guess what? Jesus Christ has told us we're special. God's own special people, sons of light. That makes us greater than anybody else that walks this earth. And I know that the world gets enamored with celebrities. The world gets enamored with political leaders. The world bows before those that have money and power and wealth. But brothers and sisters, we stand higher than anybody else on this earth because we are God's people. And someday we will inherit riches far greater than anything we can inherit on this life. We have every reason to love ourselves. And whenever we love ourselves, it opens up a whole world of love that we get to share with others. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, the plan of salvation is so simple to follow. And we rejoice with Marcos and his decision to do what I'm getting ready to explain to you. The Bible tells us we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be willing to confess that before others. We need to repent of our sin. Sin holds us down. Sin separates us from the Lord. Sin causes us to not like ourselves and to not love ourselves. We need to repent of sin, and we need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ through the act of baptism that is much more than some symbolic action. It's the real thing that brings us into the contact of Christ's blood that washes our sins away so that we may be numbered with the saved, God's own special people. And if you're here this morning and you haven't done this very thing and you would like to, we would like to assist you in doing so. If you'll but come while together we stand and sing.